Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message. Some of the content in this sermon is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Of his mind. This word finally in the Greek is talking about here, after I've gone through this. See, no one knows like you know and what God knows what you've gone through. But if you can really get real, I'm not asking you to put your life on display. But what I am asking you to do is respond to the word. Finally, it's talking about in the Greek, here, after. After I've gone through all of this, I find myself right here. I have an opportunity because I'm in the house of the Lord to give God another praise. The devil tried to take me out. Yes, he did. He tried to work me over with the fear that I was dealing with. He made me feel like I was about to made me believe that I was about to have a nervous breakdown. These children were getting all on my nerve. He started messing with me with my money because he understand, listen, I get a little anxious and I get a little nervous when it seems like I ain't going to have enough money. Oh, but after all of that, I am here right now and I still have an opportunity to give God praise. You know why? Because I stand the chance. Oh, yes. I got hope that I'm going to win. I got hope that I'm going to have good success. Yeah, he's saying, hereafter. So after all these things, after everybody has got on my nerves, after I believed the lie, after I believed that it was not going to happen for me, after I believed that what the haters were saying, after I allowed myself to walk in fear, after I allowed myself to have no hope, after I allowed myself to walk in despair, after I allowed myself to walk in disbelief and unbelief, guess what? But I'm still here. You know why? Because guess what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I'm only here because the Spirit of God, because guess what? If I would have had my way, I contemplated many times, you know what? It'll just be easy if I go and take myself up out of here. Oh, but I heard the Lord say, but God, y'all ain't gonna help me right there. I still got purpose for you. Purpose is still unfulfilled in you. So I don't care what you're thinking. I don't care what you want to do. My will, my purpose must be fulfilled. The Bible says he's watching over his word to perform it. You must have forgot that you are a word spoken from the mouth of God. Did you hear what I say? You must have forgot that you are a word spoken from the mouth of God. Some of y'all don't even understand. You are walking paragraph from the mouth of God. A word spoken from the mouth of God filled with all kinds of words. He said this and this and this and this about your life. You are walking paragraph from the mouth of God. And you got to understand, baby, God is in the third heaven looking down and saying, you know what? I got to watch over this word right here so that this word can be performed right here. That this word right here can bring me the glory. Y'all ain't... See, you get a little discouraged. Because God ain't make no mistakes. God ain't misspell anything in the paragraph. See, you be thinking God write like you write. You the only one that don't know how to write in pen, in ink. You be messing stuff up. See, I wrote in ink, but I messed up and I had to cross some stuff out. You understand what I'm saying? Then I had to start again so I can understand what I was trying to write in. See, God the only one who can write in blood and don't make a mistake. No, you ain't hear what I said. He's the only one that can write in blood and don't make a mistake. Now, this is the thing about it. He let you write in mud for a good little while. Mud being, you know what I'm saying, because many of us had 50 dirty lives before we came to him. So he let you write. He was letting you write your own story for a good little while. So he was letting you write in mud. He said, now I got to take my blood and blot this thing and clean this thing all out. Erase all of this right here. Now I'm about to write in ink. Blood ink at that. That what I'm about to write about you, the enemy can't change this. Have you ever tried to erase ink? This is the thing. Folks tried to get creative and tried to give us ink pens that you can actually erase. But the truth be told, it didn't matter how hard you erase, you can still see the evidence of the ink. When life is not going the way you want it to go and the enemy tried to make you erase stuff, or you thought the enemy tried to erase it, no, the evidence is still there because he wrote your life in blood ink. Y'all don't even understand. So after all that, here, after all that, because he says, finally, my brother, be strong. See, all that should have took you out. I guess I'm going to talk to you. All that should have took you out. Right? All joking aside, all that should have took you out. Crying some days while you in the shower, you can't tell your tears from the water running down in your face. Many of that, those things should have took you out. But you look around and you saying, I'm still here. I'm here, but I'm enclosed in my right mind. Wounded, but I'm still here. Scarred, but I'm still here. Broken a little bit, but I'm still here. And we told you, see, with God, it's a good thing to be broken because he's strong. He's close to those that are broken. So don't despise your brokenness. You got to look. Finally, meaning hereafter, after all of those things that the enemy tried, I'm still here standing. So you know what Paul says? He says, finally, my brother, he says, be strong in the Lord. In denotes a fixed position. He said, be strong in who? This right here, this purple cloth represents the Spirit of God. See, many days we have tried to fight battles while we stepped in front of the Spirit and let the Spirit be right here. Matter of fact, you went into war, intercessory warfare prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. You went warring, but you went warring without the Spirit. Only to find out that after you pray, and you pray in the name of Jesus, you still felt defeated. But he's saying, finally, hereafter, after you've gone through all of this, he said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And we told you, even when you're putting on the garments of God, because remember, we talked about this passage of scripture before, and it's talking about to sink into a garment. And when you look at all the attire of the armor, the helmet, the breastplate, having your feet shod, the loins, the shield, the sword, all of this represent Jesus Christ. So in essence, Paul was saying, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, I must sink into him like a garment. So he said, finally, here after all of this right here that I've gone through, he's saying, be strong in the Lord. You know what? See, my strength comes from him. When I sink into him and when I go into intercessory warfare prayer, see, I ain't stepped in alone because guess what? I'm wrapped up in him. Oh, y'all don't even understand what I'm saying. I'm now praying in the authority of God. See, there's a difference when you're praying like this. Now, the difference is, it doesn't mean that you don't have no authority, because the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, death and life, Lord Jesus, you see, the devil want to keep playing, right? The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of your tongue. So there is power, you speaking in a power, but there is a difference between power and authority. The enemy will let you speak in power. But when you come and you begin to speak like this, I'm not just speaking in power, but I'm speaking with authority and power. When I'm speaking like this, I'm speaking with authority and power, meaning all of heaven is now backing me. Oh, y'all not gonna help me right there. All of heaven is now backing me because heaven is now speaking through me. Heaven is now speaking for me. When I'm praying in the Holy Ghost is prompting me and leading me on what I should pray, what I should say. And I'm doing it in authority and power. So he said, finally, my brethren, you are only going to be strong in the Lord when you allow yourself to sink into him. Wear Jesus like a garment. He says, so finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, we told you it's not that you don't have power, because that little pink thing in your mouth is giving you power. But there's a difference between your power and his power. So he said, you could be strong and in the power of his might. I wish y'all really understood that. Finally. Also denotes after a series of circumstances or after a series of events. Finally. See, you could have a series of events where prayers have been unanswered, where it seemed like they just hit the ceiling and bounced back and hit you in your forehead. You could have a series of events where you were, let's just really be real, you were not walking upright in the manner that you were supposed to walk upright. I'm talking about where your flesh was getting the best of you when it's not your flesh. Your emotions are getting the best of you. You are not being spirit-led, but you find yourself being driven by your emotions or driven by your... But finally, God, after a series or consecutive days, God, of me yielding to my flesh, of me falling prey to my emotions, God, me falling prey, God, to the temptations of the... Finally. See, there comes a point where something in you will arise, or something in you, that being the Holy Ghost, will come alive on the inside and say, enough is enough. You're trying to jeopardize my... You don't understand, the more and more that you yield to your flesh and the more that you yield to the temptations of the enemy, you're trying to jeopardize the plan and the purposes of God. So the Holy Ghost has to intervene and say, finally, enough is enough. I see you can't do this on your own, so I must come alive on the inside of you so you can have a finally moment after a series of events where you keep on falling in, keep on falling. You keep lying and you keep finding yourself being bound by anger and resentment and loneliness and bitterness and brokenness, and you find yourself falling to fornication and lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and pride of life. But he said, finally, after a series of events. Because you know what? Even in those series of events, God will use for his glory. He'll let you understand, see, you couldn't do this without me. You're too weak to conquer the enemy. You're too weak to conquer your flesh. So I must come alive in you because my purpose on the inside of you is in jeopardy. And before I allow my purpose to falter and be declined, I must intervene because I'm watching over my word to perform it. He told us in the book of Isaiah, my word shall not. My word shall not return back to me void. It shall not return back to me. It shall not come back to me empty. You cannot, he's not going to allow you to come back to him empty. I don't care what you've gone through. See, the problem is we want people to feel sorry for us. What, if I feel sorry for you, what is it about the accomplishing your life? Tell me, what are you about to get out of somebody feeling sorry for you? See, your silence means you agree. Somebody feeling sorry for you ain't about to bring you absolutely nothing. So you can stop having a pity party because the only one invited to a pity party is you. And I find it hard. I find it mighty difficult to party with just you. So you can come out of self-pity. Some things you just got to say enough is enough. And when you can't say enough is enough, ask him. Put a stop to some of this stuff, God. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, well, put on the whole armor of God. And like we talked about, the armor denotes Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody put on Jesus completely. Have you noticed? There are days we want to put on parts of Jesus. No, you got your pedicure, your feet nice and pedicured. So you don't want your feet to be shod with the gospel. Right? Because you figure your feet are more pretty than Jesus' feet. No, I don't want what you walk through, Jesus. No. So we don't want to put on that right there. No. And you wonder why you find yourself keep stumbling. Because you refuse to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look like no matter wherever you walk, because there is an absence of peace, you find yourself walking in the midst of confusion or walking in the midst of chaos. Because you refuse to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I know peace is what you say you want. But what are you willing to do to have peace? We often say, God, just give me peace. God, I need peace. And if you haven't expressed it like that, let me let you in on the secret. You're asking for peace when you say, God, I can't take another thing. All you're simply doing is asking for peace. God, I can't take another thing. Oh, we all in this today. Oh, we all in it. You ain't got to tell me. I can see it on your face because it's written all over your face. We all in it. God, I can't take another thing. God, another thing. God, God, I just need a break. God, I just need a break. Do you know somebody and can you relate? Oh, I just need a break right now. God, it's too much to deal with right now, God. I don't know if I can handle. God, I feel like I'm about to just cave in. I feel like I'm about to just collapse, God. I feel like I'm just about to fold under all the pressure, God. All you asking for is peace, but you refuse to walk how he walked. He said, put on the whole armor. Is it because some of us, we done got lined up, new hairstyles, new hairdo? I ain't about to put no helmet on my fresh hairstyle. Okay. But that's why your mind is all over the place. It's the helmet of salvation. The enemy understands if I get the mind, the body must follow the mind. It's the helmet of salvation. If I get your mind, you can't believe God right. Think about it. You have many people in the Bible calling themselves studying the Bible, but their interpretation or understanding of the scriptures is off. In the Bible, but don't understand the Bible properly in its proper context. For example, I'm going to give you a real life example. Think about the scriptures in the gospel. How many times have some of y'all right in here, God, you said, what are we buying on earth? You said you were bound in heaven. I'm about to crack some of y'all faces. This is to show you how we be taking the gospel or the word of God out of context. God, you said whatever you bind on earth, whatever I bind on earth, you're bind in heaven. Now, how many times you find yourself around here praying, I bind the spirit of lust, God. Now, bind in heaven. Tell me, why is God going to bind up a spirit in heaven? Why is God binding anything demonic in heaven? When the very thing that acted in a demonic nature, that being Lucifer, he kicked out. So tell me, why is God going to bind anything demonic in heaven and have it just tied up in a corner over in the east part of heaven? You go over to the east part of heaven, you foul devil. Why is he going to do that? He's not. What the scripture is talking about, there was a meeting between the Sanhedrin. And what they're saying is, as it pertains to laws, where two or three, because remember y'all said where two or three are gathered in your name. That's in the same context of the scripture. You know how y'all prayed it? Where two or three are gathered in your name, God, you in the midst. In relation to laws, when two or three come together in your name saying, God, this is going to be an effective law, if two or more agree, then it is a law that we're making binding here in the earth realm, and you're going to honor the same law in heaven. This ain't got nothing to do with no, I bind the spirit of lust. Because he ain't about to have this spirit in the corner tied up in chains in heaven. So now you see, right, how many of us sold out believers take the scripture out of context. And the enemy, like, they don't even understand what they're reading. Study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. You need not be ashamed. See, some of y'all feel ashamed because that was you. Bind the spirit of perversion, God. Oh, yeah, I'm bust your bubble. Perversion is not bound in heaven. It's not tied up in heaven, y'all. But see, there were some of us, we don't want to put on the helmet of salvation because you don't like how heavy the helmet is. You don't like how the helmet looks. And it's about how heavy or how it looks, it's about the purpose of the helmet. The purpose or the design is salvation. And the enemy understands, if I get the mind, the body is going to follow. If I get the mind, they will not be able to trust or have faith like they're supposed to. If I get the mind. So if God can save the mind, he can save the body. Why do you think God sent the head and not an arm when he sent Jesus? I have a head that will not compromise. So guess what? Eventually, this body is going to have to follow. Because guess what? He defeated the enemy. So guess what? This body is going to have to line up and come subject to the head. Where the head goes, the body must follow. But you don't want to put on the helmet. Heavy is the head that wears the helmet. Because ain't nobody got a crown but Jesus. And you trying to figure out, well, I can't hardly see in this hell, man. Let him see for you then. Right? So he's telling you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? I done got ahead of myself, but the posture of prayer that we're talking about is standing. Standing when you pray. Because guess what? When you shift postures when you're praying, standing gives you another view or vantage point. It gives you another perspective of how you see things when you stand as opposed to sitting or bowing or prostrated. Stand. Standing denotes a posture of warfare. Being alert, being attentive. And too many times you've been in warfare sitting down. Too many times you've been in warfare on the side of your bed on your knees. But when you stand, like I said, it gives you a different vantage point. See, most of us, it wasn't that your prayers wasn't good. You just wasn't praying against the right things because you didn't see properly. Listen, you're going to have to come off the drums for a second. God told me you was going to be my illustration, so I need you to come off the drums for a second. Kyrie Sleep? You're supposed to be my illustration too, man. Huh? Nah, let him sleep. I ain't going to mess with him. I'm going to have to be Kyrie. Come on, man. Sure. I'm going to have to be Kyrie. He big enough. He's big enough. Here, let me use him. Gene, you represent the enemy now. I ain't saying you know any, but you represent the enemy for you. I need your size. Need your size, right? Need your size. Now, Dallas represents us praying. Same, right? Can you have him sit? You sit with him then. You're going to be a part of the illustration. So have him sit, right? This represents us, right, when we're praying. Notice the posture of sitting. Now, he represents your enemy. Now, listen, to be a part of my illustration, because that means you're going to have to pray for real. So you can't come here with this little okey-doke stuff. So while you're a part of my illustration, matter of fact, you can take Dallas on back. I don't even need Dallas. Dallas, get up out of here. Come on, Dallas. I'm going to walk you on back over here, Dallas. Yeah, God use you for a moment. Use you for a moment. You represent the saint. You represent us, right? So I don't need the okey-doke stuff. So while we're going through the illustration, I ain't really got to tell you about some of the things that the enemy fights you with. I'm going to keep it all the way real. I ain't got to tell you some of the things that you yield to that comes from the devil. Right. Right. But I need you to pray for real against some of these things. This represents your enemy. Now, I want you to notice your vantage point. You just stand in front of her. Your enemy, this is what's before you at all times. But mind you, God told us you stand a chance. Tell me, how great of a chance do you have when you're unprepared, when you can't even properly see who's coming against you or who's properly standing against you? How much of a chance do you really have when you're already seeing incorrectly? Now, it's not that your prayer, because prayer is simply communication to God. It's not that that's wrong, but you're praying in the wrong posture. Sitting, the posture of sitting denotes, okay, I'm in a posture that denotes learning. I'm in a posture that denotes studying. I'm in a posture that denotes I'm being patient, God. Right now, what you got going on with life, this ain't no time to study. This ain't no time to be learned. This is no time to be patient. This is the time to engage. Right? So you go ahead and start praying. You step back a little bit. She praying? You pray a little louder, right? See, if her praying stopping you, you keep advancing. Right? If her praying stopping you, you keep advancing. Till you put your hands on her. So what he's showing you, your praying stopped you yet. Okay, look at you trying to do something. Look at you. That's right. Okay, come on. Pick it up in the realm of the spirit and pray prophetically, right? See, go back to your place. Go back to your place for a second. Now, I want you to notice something. She has some power. She has some power, right? She has some power. Come here, mama, for a second. No, you stay right there. I'm calling your mama. She has some power, right? But we told you early on in the service, he told you in the book of Proverbs, death and life is in the power of your tongue. So she has some power. You're going to represent Jesus Christ. So you stand behind her and you wrap her up in the clothes. So she's about to sink into Jesus. So now when she prays, she's going to pray with power and authority. You follow me? So you clothe her. You just wrap your arms around her, but wrap yourself and wrap her in the cloak. Wrap you and her in the cloak. Huh? No, wrap you and her in the cloak.
So wrap me and her.
Yeah. The cloak still denotes Jesus. We're sinking into the garment. This cloak denotes, okay, this is the complete or the whole armor of God, which denotes Jesus Christ, right? And when I pray in Jesus, I'm not just praying with power, but I'm also praying with power and I'm praying in authority. Okay, you go back some. Now, this represents our enemy, right? I don't know who you want to be, rebellion. You want to be lust or perversion? I don't know. Huh? All the above, okay. Now, when you think about it, when you were sitting, your viewpoint or your vantage point of him was totally different. You could not see who was approaching you until he got close up on you. Close enough to actually put his hands on you. But now that you're standing, you can see the enemy that is advancing from afar off. Y'all ain't going to help me right there. See, most of us felt like we've had surprise attacks from the enemy. And it might be so the enemy has surprised you, because it could be that you were praying in the wrong posture. See, maybe you need to start your day off standing. And maybe you need to end your day prostrating. And when you get to the middle of your day, maybe you need to find yourself on your knees or sitting. Throughout my day, God, I'm trying to learn. Because throughout the day, you should be saying, God, what are you saying to me? Denoting that I'm patient to hear what you want to speak to me. I'm patient to figure out what it is, God, that you're trying to minister to me. Showing, God, that as I'm seated throughout the day, God, that I'm patient. I'm in a posture, God, that I want to learn. I'm in a posture, God, where I want to study what it is that you want to speak to me. So the enemy, you can see the enemy now advancing. So you advance, you praying. Now, you wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus Christ. And you got some authority. That it comes a point where your hand ain't even got to be on him. He got to just back up based upon what you're speaking. He just got to back up based upon what you're speaking. Because it is my word. My word. My word. Oh, y'all don't even understand what's taking place. They don't even understand what's taking place. When you pray in Jesus, when you pray in authority and power, the enemy has no legal ground to approach. When you're praying in the correct posture, you are to see the advancement. You are to see the ambushments. And you know how to strategically pray to stop the advancements, to stop the ambushments of the enemy. No more sneak attacks. No more feeling bamboozled. No more feeling hoodwinked where you feel like the enemy's got the best of you, or you feel like the enemy's tricked you. Why? God has given you everything you need to be successful. To stand the chance, said what? Have hope in winning or have hope in succeeding. God has given you everything to be successful. You have the armor available. Will you put it on and use it? Oh, y'all done backed the enemy all the way up. I got to help the devil now. That's crazy when you got to help the devil. See, I don't know about you, because the truth be told, for some of y'all, the devil ain't on the outside of your house no more. He in the house living with you. Oh, you're not going to be real. As saved as I am, the devil has had access to my house. There's some days where I did not live right. I was not holy. I was not righteous. I let my mind wander. I let my eyes wander. I let vain imagination take. I let spirit of fantasy operate in my mind. I was rebellious. I was angry. I was resentful. I dealt with unforgiveness. I dealt with bitterness. I dealt with rage. I even dealt with murder. So there were days I let the devil come right in what's supposed to be the house of God. Are you trying to figure out why you can't stand against the wiles, the trickery of the enemy? Do you even know how the enemy operates? Two main tactics, fear and deception. When he's coming with these tactics, what are you doing? See, think about it. Go to the net. He said, you know what? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, you think it's the person right in front of you. You keep getting arguments and you sitting. It's the person that's being used by a demonic force, though. That's why Paul is telling them, listen, you're not wrestling in an entanglement. And see, God, I would rather wrestle, because my wrestle is an indication that I have not given in to the temptation of the devil. Some days this devil has had me in the headlock. He's had me in the figure four leg lock. He's had me in the full Nelson, the half Nelson, the armbar, body slam me, threw me over the top rope. That's for all my WWE fans. Threw me over the top rope. I've been disqualified. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me, but I'm gonna talk to you. Where I abided in the will of the devil so long that I almost disqualified myself from some of the blessings and the promises of God because I let him throw me over the top. Y'all not gonna help me. Meaning, I got the big head at times when I got a little elevated to the high place. It was when I was in the high place, he threw me over the top rope. But Paul is saying, listen, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Take your eyes off the person and get in the realm of the spirit and see who's in operation. See who's influencing them to say these words. He's letting you know it's a spiritual individual behind the scenes working. It's a spiritual person behind the scenes working. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Regardless of the high place, a lot of times we interpret high place as being on certain jobs and government and all these, but what about the high places in your mind? The high places denote the things that we lift up. See, your house is not the house of God. Your apartment is not the apartment of God. It's a high place. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. You with your little sports car, with your little nice little car, your little bank account, it's a high place because you have elevated, you have lifted it up. And guess what? The devil is abiding right in that place. That's why money, when the money get funny, the romance get funny. Why? Because money has become something elevated to you, and the devil abides right in the money that says, in God we trust. But ain't nobody trusting God. We trusting George and Benjamin and Abe. And the devil is right in there. High places. And you think it's them. See, that's why we ain't got nothing, because you won't change. And then they respond, you won't change. You change. Stop trying to change me. Why you worry about me? Oh, who's really talking? Yes! It is their voice. Yes, it is their body. But who's influencing them? Who is using their body as a vessel to declare what they're declaring? Because if you truly love them, you won't say, I can't stand you. You make me sick. That is not the nature of you, the believer. But it's possible for you, the believer, to let a demonic force enter in. Come and help me declare it, Apostle Peter. When he tried to rebuke Jesus, Jesus said, what? Satan, get thee behind. The apostle, the disciple, let Satan enter right on in him. And Jesus turned and rebuked and said, Satan, get thee behind me. Another apostle, Judas Iscariot. Let Satan enter him again till it cost him his life. Till it cost him his life. Why go through all the necessary repentance and then take your life? After you dealt with all the conviction, and after you dealt with all the guilt, and after you dealt with all the shame, only to take your life. Because the reality, he was not really wrestling against himself. But you see how the enemy made him feel like he was wrestling against yourself? You should have made another choice, Judas. Why did you sell him out for 30 measly pieces of silver? You see how the enemy made him believe that he was wrestling against himself? had he known, I'm not in a wrestling match with me. Now, granted, there were some days you are wrestling you. There were some days you are your greatest enemy. But you know you. You know when it's you. So if you didn't know it was the devil, I'm going to tell you how we're going to stop that lie. Because you know you. You know when it's you. So if you know when it's you, you also know when it's not you, because you know you. Just be man and woman enough to say, you know what, I let the devil use me. I did. I let the devil use me. You said something I didn't like, so I said, you know what, it hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. I let the devil use me. I let the spirit of revenge come right on and use me. This ain't flesh and blood. When you stand, though, you can see more accurately, more clearly. Standing denotes I'm alert. Standing denotes I'm attentive. Question, are you really attentive to who's come in your house? Do you really know who's in your house? You may be thinking about all the individual. You know what? Me, my three children, the cat, the dog. There's five bodies in this house. It's five terrestrial bodies. But it might be 1,000 celestial broken bodies in there. Oh, you ain't gonna talk to me, but I'm gonna talk to you. All the different shows that you look at, because Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. What type of words are playing in your atmosphere? Is it argumentative words? Secular music playing in the house? Secular TV shows going on in the house? Secular music? Is it cussing in the house? Bitter words? Words fueled with fire, anger, resentment? It may be five terrestrial bodies, but how many celestials are in the house? How many invisible beings are in the house that you have not seen? And you're trying to figure out why you pray, but now you're dealing with this strong spirit of perversion. Because one of those invisible celestials has influenced the children to go entertain pornography. Forget the children, it's some of y'all adults. Christian adults entertaining pornography. They call it soft porn on some of the TV shows that you watch. But you'll go back and rewind that scene. Lord, I know. Oh, y'all not gonna, you ain't not gonna talk to me, but I'm gonna talk to you. Because the truth be told, if you good in the sex game, I know we got some children in, but they older than that. If you good in the sex game, you feel like you always a student of the sex game. So anything that I can learn to take my game to the next level, what did you just do? Y'all ain't gonna talk to me, but I'm gonna talk to you. You ain't never thought about doing that position. So you like, you know what? Hey. Then you want to go to bed that night. Hey, and let's try this right here. Where you get that from? A devil has just tempted you to come out bringing this into a holy covenant. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk. Because see, you love sex as a believer. And you should, because God created it. Those of us who are married, you should. Right? So because you love it, you want it to be its best. But instead of you working in prayer, because let me tell you something.
Before I got married, my wife was like, you better show sure know what you're doing. You. She running all across the room, dancing, doing the crip walk. You better know what you're doing. You better know what you're doing. You better. And I'm saying to myself, you do not intimidate me. I don't care what you think you know. I don't care who you think you've been with. Because see, the truth be told, I was perverted and she was perverted, but I had not entered into the level of perversion she entered in. So because she flowed in another level of perversion in me, she was skeptical when it came to the bedroom. She was like, hey, you, my friend, do not intimidate me. No, some men would get intimidated. Because when the woman is standing before you and she like, no, this is what I like, and you better, you know, they got the holy snatch going on. This is what I like. And see, as a man, there is all kind of pressure on us as men to perform well. You understand what I'm saying? I wish I had some men who didn't mind helping me. Yeah, you trying to think about this and not think about this when she just. You looking like you don't understand how hard this is for me. All the stuff I got to do is try to please you and not be no minute man. Come on now. Help me up here. And you just, what the world? I am not intimidated by you though, my friend. You know why? Where's my Jesus at, man? Did I take my Jesus? Yeah, I took my Jesus. Yeah, give me that purple. Give me that purple back. The Bible says he had a purple robe. Give me that purple robe. I am not intimidated by you, my friend. With all your perversion, you know why? Because I know a Lord. I know a God that knows you better than you know yourself. And let me tell you something. I was willing to put in the work. I sunk into Jesus. I had to get my Baptist on for a second. I said I sunk into Jesus. Hey, I felt that. I sunk into Jesus. Yes, I did. I'm about to really get my Baptist on. I sunk it to Jesus, Mary, little baby. Woo. That's real Baptist. Y'all don't know nothing about that. I said I sunk it to Jesus, Mary's little newborn baby. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb that was slain, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. I sunk into Jesus and I began to pray, Father, you know this woman. You know her needs, God. I didn't just stay in prayer, but I went into worship. Show me, God, how to touch her, God. This is your creation. Show me how to touch her, God, that she will be well pleased, God. Oh, yeah, because, see, I can't have you side-eye looking at nobody thinking they can do a better job than me. I slap both of y'all. I said, I sunk into Jesus. Yes, I did. And I began to pray, y'all. Because think about this. I want you to understand something. You have heard me say multiple times, in worship, God has taught me how to touch him. You've heard me tell y'all this. In worship, God has told me how to touch. He's taught me how to touch him. He would say, Lincoln, do your hands like this. 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 Lincoln, get on your face. He was teaching me how to touch him. And if God can teach me how to touch him, a spirit being, who is this terrestrial being that was created by the creator of the universe? Baby, you don't compare to him. Baby, I'm going to touch you one time. Ugh. Y'all, some of y'all caught it. Some of y'all caught it. Some of y'all caught it. I touch you in the name of Jesus. Now go sit down somewhere. Y'all don't understand. Y'all. I mean, God ain't afraid of sex. I don't know why the church is so afraid of sex. The Bible tells me he's the author and the finisher of my faith. The author that knows he writes. Men, I'ma just edit this part. I don't care. Go ahead and edit this part. Holy men of God, God has gave you an ink pen that writes white ink. You better write well in that pink notebook. You ain't gonna help me, but I'm gonna help you. He gave you an ink pen that writes white ink. You better write well in that notebook. Because if you don't write well, baby, there is somebody else looking to sign that John Hancock, if you feel me. You know what? I don't even care if you don't edit it or not. Because that's good teaching right there. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. And this is why in the church we can't have good success in relationship, because the church has made sex become so taboo. When folks struggling in their sexual relationship in the church, feeling unfulfilled, feeling unsatisfied in the church. No. Now, why you can pray about everything else and include prayer and everything else, but when it comes to the bed, oh, you figure, okay, we know I ain't going to be spiritual here. The devil is a lie. Well, you know, I can't even say if I don't even know if it's up in here. It could be. Because, see, some folk, they listen to these well-known bishops and stuff. Talk about how, listen, I ain't trying to be spiritual when it comes to that. But it's a spiritual act. Sex. Acronym for sex. Right? Sacred energy exchange. Spiritual energy exchange. It is a spiritual act. Aside from worship, sex is the most spiritual thing that you can do. And how dare some of these well-known bishops talk about, nah, I ain't trying to put on, I'm not telling you to put on no gospel music, but how dare you put on secular that's filled with all kind of demonic entities and innuendos that you're bringing into a God-designed spiritual act. Now, if you're really good with it, you ain't got to put on no music. Y'all can be the music. I said something right there. Y'all ain't going to talk to me, but I'm going to sure enough talk to you. If you're good at it and God has anointed you, y'all two become the melody and the harmony. Oh, yeah. Slow it down. Speed it up. Get it in the middle. Oh, yes. I don't know. We supposed to be talking about prayer. But tell me, why would you not pray? Tell me, why would you not pray? Whether before, during, or after, why would you not pray? Do you understand? When you really dive into sex, it is a communication between the physical. It is communication between the physical. And so when you think about it, some of us only want to talk physical. But we never want to deal with or entertain the emotional side of the woman. We always telling her, not now, I don't want to talk about that right now. Money, am I preaching good right here? Am I preaching good right here, Money? I just need to talk though. Why you act like you can't talk? You got time for everything else, but when I say I want to talk, you act like you ain't got time to talk. I wish any other women would help me right now. Because you know you want, the truth be told, woman, you want to talk during, before, after, and we'd be like, God, dog, man, I don't want to talk. Am I preaching good right there, Christian? I'm going to be balanced. I'm going to be balanced. You want to talk all the time, man. Can we woosa for 5 minutes? Can we woosa? Jesus. And the truth be told, it feel like we be talking about the same thing. If the men would help me, it feel like we be talking about the same thing. And then that's when the women gonna say, because you have not gave me an answer. Because you ain't gave me no answer. That's why you feel like we're talking about the same thing. Because you have not gave me an answer. Now, if I go and do my own thing, then you're going to be talking about, don't nobody respect you as the head of the household. I just want to do my own thing. Okay. Will the real holy women stand up? Y'all ain't going to talk to me, but I'm going to talk to you. That's how crazy some of us men be acting. You never answered her, but you expect her to stay submitted and just keep waiting on you to answer her. And you got the nerve to be angry and upset because you feel like y'all talking about the same thing. We all talking about the same thing because you have never answered me. Give me an answer and we can move on. Give me an answer and we can talk about something else. And we ain't even talking about money. We talking about what you want to eat. We're not even talking about money. We talking about what you want to eat. You can't tell me what you want to eat, but you expect me to have a smile on my face. Don't burn your food up. Bring it to the table. Take your plate off the table. Clean up behind you. Wipe your mouth and put you to bed. You know what I mean, put you to bed. But you can't give me an answer what you want for dinner. And then if I just go make what I think you want, I don't want that. What the world? And if, as a woman, if I do that, what the world? What you got an attitude for? What you mad for? You know what? You know what? I cook your own food. Cook it. Can I get a little help around here? No, we supposed to be talking about prayer. Prayer, at its simplest core foundation, it is communication. Sex is all it is physical communication. But it incorporates spirit and it incorporates emotion. Well, some of y'all men just need to just yell one time, real loud, right in the middle of, ah! So what? They're going to have to learn. I would rather my children learn by me. I got 3 girls. My oldest is 13. They've been rummaging through my stuff. I said, listen. I ain't afraid of you going through my stuff. I said, ask me, though. I would rather teach them than the world teach them. Because most of us are afraid to be affectionate in front of our children. They don't know how to have healthy relationships. That's why some of the daughters think it's okay for a man to fuss all the time. You teaching them this to look for this in a man. Because guess what? You 9 times out of 10, you know who they're going to marry? They're going to marry somebody just like their daddy. And you, daddy, with your mean self? No, don't get mad if she marry a mean Negro. I'll go to jail by my baby girl. Go sit down somewhere. She married you. And you hate the fact that this man reminds you of you. You won't be honest and say it. You who ain't ever got nothing to say to your wife. When she cried, Dad, I just wish he would talk to me. Put that nigga on the phone. Put that ninja on the phone. No, you can't bully him. He acting just like you. Because you don't talk to your wife. He acting like you. So don't try to bully him because that's my baby girl. Ain't nobody going to hurt my baby girl. Guess what? Her mama, your wife, is somebody's baby girl who you hurt all the time. Why why are we not praying, y'all? We told you coming into this year, you better pray about everything. You know, when we went away, I said, God, give me and my wife an opportunity to reconnect, God, spiritually for ministry's sake. Give us an opportunity to reconnect for our marriage's sake. Give us an opportunity to reconnect for the sake of our children. They need to see a healthy relationship. The church needs to see a healthy relationship. It ought to be something, married couples, when singles in the church are contemplating whether or not they should get married because they're watching some of these raggedy Christian marriages. They don't ever see you show any public display of affection. Now, I'm going to commend Mike and Renisha. They be loving on each other in the public. I said, they remind me of me and my wife when we was a little younger. But I'm going to put their secret out there. Don't let them come to your house. Because they on a tour, the same tour that we was on. What is the tour? Every house we go in, leave your mark. You can't be mad. They love each other, y'all. You can't be mad. They love each other. Now, we ain't telling you to be raunchy in church. But it was a point where I used to grab my wife butt in church. And the singers be like, Pastor Nick, I got to get away. My flesh, I got to get away from you, man, because I want to be touched too. That ain't my problem. Live right. And God will send your man. He'll send your woman. Right. Why am I about to back up because you single? Oh, no. See, too many times as married folk, we have been more mindful of a single than your spouse. The singers, if they want to be married, that they're trying to get to where you are. Show them something healthy. Man, it's okay for you to walk up to your wife and just slob her down. Now, there is a difference in your bedroom slob and your church slob. I'm just saying, because we all are spiritual people. And the truth be told, we all see stuff. There is a difference between your bedroom slob and your church public slob. In other words, what I'm saying is, y'all, I don't want to walk away with my prophetic self because I see stuff in the realm of the spirit. I don't want to walk away, though you ain't did nothing. I saw what takes place in your bed. I don't want to see that. Okay? Any spiritual person know what I'm talking about? But it's okay for you to love on your wife, and why is it okay for you to love on your husband? We need to see healthy relationships in the church. Come on, all you got to do is wrap in Jesus and pray. Lord, I was supposed to get all the way down to 18. That ain't going to happen. Just go to 18, because we're talking about prayer. Praying always. Praying always. Told you, everything you do coming into this new year, pray about everything. Pray about everything. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out hour prayer. I've been consistently, from the time we came off the Daniel fast, I've been consistently praying 5 times a day. Some of the prayers are long. Some of the prayers are short. Some of the prayers are intermediate. But I've been talking to God, allowing God to talk back to me. Talking about random stuff. Whatever the Spirit leads me or what I feel I need to talk to God about. The point is, I'm talking to God. I'm praying always. I'm trying to pray. You say praying always with prayer and supplication. This word supplication is talk about an earnest seek. The word prayer denotes, okay, the request that you're laying before God. But the supplication is talking about an earnest seek. Pray always with my prayers, my requests, and my supplication, my earnest seek in, again, God, the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You should be watching from a different level now. As we're talking from the posture of standing, prayer from the posture of standing, you should be watching from a different level now. You should be able to see further than what you were able to see on bended knees, in the seated posture, or in the posture of prostration. Watch endurance with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you should be praying, making earnest prayer for all saints as you're watching and persevering as you pray. Simply put, it's talking about intercession right here. So, just to be honest with you, when you find yourself making true intercession for people, what takes place or what begins to happen in the realm of the spirit is you start feeling some of the things that they deal with or struggle with. You start picking it up. Because if you start being like, why am I dealing with this? Because maybe because of the person that you're earnestly praying for, God is allowing you to feel or sense what they're going through. So that you can know how to pray strategically and effectively for them. This is for all saints. Amen? So, prayer. Why do we pray? Where my little quote at, man? My little quote. Why do we pray? Because prayer is a way we become aware of and experience God's presence and His character. And it's through prayer that we meet and connect with God. Prayer is the foundation of our relationship because it is communication. It builds trust between us and God. It pushes us into communion, close relationship with God, which then allows us to have community as a unified body. Amen? So it is important that we pray. Pray about everything. Amen? Come on, put your hands together for the word in Jesus' name.